Hello, everybody, and here is the week ahead forecast beginning January the 15th, 2024. And I realized I didn't do one last week. It's been really a strange entry into this calendar year. So I apologize for not doing one, but it is what it is, and the week's gone now. So, but this is the week that is going to bring some big change. This is one of the biggest weeks of the year. Also, alongside when Jupiter and Uranus will meet, is another big week. But this week is just crazy because Pluto is entering Aquarius on the same day as the Sun enters Aquarius, and on that same day as well, the moon will also enter Aquarius. And there are other aspects as well that kind of add to all of this, which I'll talk about. But apart from between September and November, later in the year, when Pluto will briefly retrograde back into Capricorn, we are done with Pluto in Capricorn. And it's been a long, hard journey. Those of you that bought my 2024 preview webinar will know I kind of looked back at the 15 years of Pluto in Capricorn. And it was challenging, not just because Pluto was in Capricorn, but because of all the aspects that occurred while Pluto was in Capricorn. It was intense. Uranus Pluto squares, Pluto Eris squares, the massive conjunction of Saturn, Pluto, Sun, Mercury, and Ceres on January the 12th, 2020, and others. And a Venus retrograde in Capricorn that connected with Pluto at the same time. That's why I think those years were really challenging. And if you bought my webinar, you will know that I did look ahead for the next 20 years of Pluto in Aquarius, because Pluto has different periods of time in different signs depending on where in its orbit it is. But anyway, I did look ahead as in as much detail as I could. And it just is not, there are just not the same amount of challenging aspects. But anyway, there is the Pluto Haumea square, but I'll look at that later. But I did do an article and I called it Aspect of the Decade. You can find it by searching on my Medium publication or on my Substack. And there are, two a year till 2028 Pluto Haumea squares, but they seem to be more an aspect of creation and rebirth than the kind of destructive aspects that we've been experiencing. So all these cards are just flipping all over the place. So let's pull a couple of cards for the week ahead and then go through the astrology day by day. Okay. Because you want to pay attention to this week. And I also want to have a look at one other chart with the aspects that are happening this week. So I did pull, and I like these cards. Okay, so I pulled three cards. I first pulled Seven of Pentacles, and this is really about starting to slow down and reap the fruits of all your efforts. This is about pentacles are, the earth sign related to the material world and so on. And this is about enjoying seeing the things you've been manifesting or building or creating, but also, know that there is more to come, more to come. All right. So, anyway, that's the first card. So we're beginning to kind of reap the rewards of all these quite difficult times, really, that we've been through. I'm not saying everything's going to be all light right away, but I really think we're kind of on the outs. Anyway, this is the next card I pulled for the week is Temperance. And this is, it says, now is the time to reflect on things that are out of balance in your life and stabilize them. Be gentle and kind to yourself. Go with the flow of life and stick to that which brings you the most peace. Do not rush. Be moderate in everything you do and take things lightly. Calmness and harmony should be your priority. Be patient with yourself and with others and follow your higher purpose. And the affirmation with that one is balance and peace are my priorities in life right now. Oh, and by the way, this is the Tree Devia tarot deck. There is a link in my description to purchase a deck if you like it. I'm quite liking it actually. I'm kind of liking the little book. I like the feel of the cards. I do like the look of these cards. You know, they're very sometimes the shine's difficult to show on Zoom, but the imagery is quite beautiful. And look at that moon over the head of that lady, that of that angel. Anyway, the art's gorgeous, but you get 10% off with my link. So anyway, so those are the first two cards for the week, and that really feels like building up to the first 5 days of the week, really kind of settle in, kind of, you know, patience, find that balance, look at reap those rewards. And then towards the end of the week, we get the Three of Pentacles, which is another one that marks a reward for your hard work and dedication. Your skills and knowledge allow you to advance to a higher position. You are part of a team that collaborates in a harmonious and productive way, and your contribution to it is very valued. Now, it doesn't have to be a physical team. This could be, you know, you and your spirit guides, you and your just, you know, the people you kind of align with and align with. Use your creativity to implement your ideas and focus on achieving what you're passionate about. Okay. And that really figures with the rush of air that we're going to get. So this week, like the last few weeks, or at least since before the holidays, we have had no significant air in the skies. And what I mean by that is that we have none of the main placements. We have a couple of asteroids in an air sign. And the South Node, of course, is in an air sign Libra. But apart from when the moon has passed through air signs briefly for 2.5 days every third of a lunar cycle, we've had no significant air. It's been a little bit trudgy. It's been easy to forget things. And really, you know, that's probably why I forgot to do a forecast last week. It's just been hard to get to everything. I have done apart from that one thing, but you might find that it's just felt like a very slow start to this new year because we're at the end as well. We're starting the week off, and we've been at this degree for a while with Pluto at this last degree of Capricorn. And I'm just going to pause because this is working on in real time. My washing machine finished its cycle and started beeping, and my husband is taking an afternoon nap. Anyway, so I just turned it off. So this is where we are. We enter the week. I always use Eastern time, Washington DC time, because I have to pick a time. So 12:01 a.m. on January the 15th, we start the working week or the week that we're going to look at ahead. And, you know, I want to point out that we do have Pluto, as I was mentioning, still at that anaretic degree of Capricorn. It's like a build-up of tension. We're ready for this change and we know it's coming and we can see it and smell it and feel it, but we're not quite there yet. So that's very tense on its own. We also begin the week with the moon in Pisces still, and the moon, which I've written about on my Substack blog for the January the 14th into the 15th, is conjunct Nessus, the generational abuse asteroid. Now, you know, this happens every month, but again, we're at that point of change. And things are dense. And so, you know, more things keep coming to light and coming to light. And so that's how we start the week. So I'm just going to talk about the main aspects. So we begin the week with that conjunction to Nessus. Then the moon will sextile Uranus, which is the modern ruler of the sign of Aquarius, where Pluto is going to be. And at this point, Uranus is now 12 days away from stationing direct as well. So Uranus is slowing down to change direction as well. So not only are we going to get this influx into Aquarius, we're also got the modern ruler changing signs. But that's just likely to give us a little inkling of where we're going. Aspects to Uranus can be quite restless, and especially when things are kind of at a bit of a standstill and at this point before change, it's like we're ready to change. But and you might change some things, but I think the speed of it's going to come. I'm actually spending more time kind of releasing things for now, like leaving some Facebook groups and leaving some other stuff. And I had a big closet clear out and things. It feels like we're entering this brave new world, so things have got to be cleared away a bit. So, but anyway, I don't want to spend too long on every day. One other big thing we have on Monday morning is that the moon will come up and square Venus and Ceres, who are going to meet actually on the 16th. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But this is an aspect, the moon square Venus and Ceres is really going to kind of dominate Monday and Tuesday. They are really two of the biggest aspects. And Venus and Ceres are, in many respects, the story of Demeter and Persephone. And you could say that Persephone lost her innocence, and it was a story of moving from, you know, that innocent kind of maidenhood or young girlhood and moving into adulthood. Incidentally, talking about women coming in, do you like this? I was just out shopping with my husband and I picked this up in TJ Maxx, and he's like, that's not very you, it's very Barbie. And I was like, meet the new me. But anyway, it was an impulse and it's a bit itchy. So, but anyway, it's nice. I quite like it. Anyway, so when the moon squares Venus and Ceres, we start to really feel into, for want of a better expression, that divine feminine, that interconnectedness with the moon in Pisces, which is very much the cosmic soup of creation. We were born from chaos. All the creation myths in general come from chaos and creating and writing this new story. But it's also like the amniotic fluid before we're birthing the start of the zodiac. So we've got this, like, we are ready. And I know that it seems out there that, you know, women's rights are being taken away and things. But I really think, you know, we're probably going to get things encoded into federal law eventually and state laws. But anyway, I've said that before. But that's a beautiful creative and visionary aspect on Monday. So the moon squares Venus and Ceres early on Monday morning, Eastern time, 7:47 a.m. and 9:20 a.m. And so that kind of launches us on in the USA, at least when we're waking up and getting out of bed, like this creative push, this mystical almost push as well, and quite visionary. And then the moon will oppose Juno, which is just stationed retrograde. So really this is forming a mutable T-square with all feminine energies, the moon, Venus, Ceres, and Juno, saying come into wholeness, find, honor your inner girl, your inner woman, be okay being female in that very powerful way that we've been pulled towards. But for men as well, this is about also about, you know, that feminine side of you, that softer, intuitive, more sensitive side. Come into that and own it. We need more of that. So moving on throughout the day, the moon will then trine Pallas Athena, who's still over here in Scorpio. So more kind of creative intelligence, planning, seeing the problem that we need to change, planning, you know, strategies. And then the moon will square Vesta as well. So really, with the moon square these two and opposing Juno and then square Vesta, this is a mutable grand cross on Monday. The moon will square Vesta at 1:30 p.m. So you can see it's all happening quite early in the day. Mutable signs are bringing change. It's saying be flexible, be open to change, but it's all about coming into that wholeness within yourself and visioning a brighter future in that way. Right, so after that, we do have the moon will then sextile the Capricorn Sun on the way to the first quarter moon. That's not the biggest aspect, but then the moon will conjunct Neptune, that it does every month. Very dreamy, very creative. It's a really creative, intuitive, empathic, sometimes confusing start to the week. But if you tune into that, if you've got any creative projects, really let yourself kind of step into that. And then I'm just moving on. The moon will conjunct that and sextile the sun as well. The sun will sextile Neptune on its way to move towards Neptune. So we've got a very with the sextile to Capricorn, I think is really kind of going to be about releasing and letting go of a lot of this old attachment to the patriarchal structures that we've been living under, whether they're in our mind or physically. Okay. And then the other big aspect on Monday, and then I really must get moving, is that Mars is still out of bounds till the 23rd, by the way, will conjunct Volus. Mars exalted in Capricorn, very happy in there, but out of bounds. So, you know, acting a little bit out of character. Perhaps, you know, perhaps that means, you know, with Volus being the Pandora's box, taking the lid off things in Capricorn, you know, I think we're seeing the lid coming off the whole thing about toxic masculinity. And I'm seeing more and more men, most importantly, talking about that's not what it is to be a man, a Martian kind of energy. And also in women, displaying that Martian kind of energy. Mars was also guardian. Mars was not just a fighter and a warrior. He is not just aggression and violence. Mars is passion and drive to do things, but also to protect. Mars was really a protector as well. So, you know, a lot of these energies have been portrayed so kind of negatively over time. As the moon finishes in Pisces, it will sextile Pluto at the very end of the degrees again, kind of taking us once more into that deep dive about the last days of what we are getting rid of, if you like, before we move into this new paradigm. And then the moon moves into Aries at 11:48 p.m. on Monday and into Tuesday. All right, so 16th. Not all the days are as full as I've talked about. But on the 16th, the moon comes up and squares Mercury, which has just moved in back into Capricorn after the retrograde, still formally retracing steps that Mercury was retrograde over. But this is a first quarter moon now, nearly. The moon is heading towards first quarter, and it's time to take action. And Mercury did its reflecting and revisiting. So it's time to talk about where you're going, time to shout about it, write about it, also to implement any shifted perceptions and things. And that's at 4:04 a.m. And then at 10:05 a.m. on January the 16th, remembering I'm always Eastern time, Venus actually meets Ceres exactly at 21 degrees 43 minutes Sagittarius, which makes me giggle with hilarity because that's exactly conjunct my sun. And this is one of the themes of the book I'm writing about, anyway, the relationship with cycles and mothers and all kinds of things like that. Wow. So anyway, so then Venus will square Juno as well, and then the moon will come up and square Pholus and Mars. So, really kind of giving us a push to take action on what's been coming out and what's being revealed about shifting these shifting gender dynamics, if you like, within all of us, about becoming better humans, really. And then in the afternoon, Ceres will come up and square Juno as well. And so, because they're really still in square to Neptune, yes, the moon's moved on, and they are still opposing Vesta as well. We've got this mutable, changing Grand Cross all week. And it really is about feeling into that interconnectedness in a huge way. And then, the last main aspect on the 16th, which happens at 9:37 p.m., is that Saturn conjuncts Hygieia, or Hygieia comes up and conjuncts Saturn. Preventative health. Now, Saturn in Pisces, he's been at those first 7 degrees of Pisces for a long time. He's been asking us to, let go of the shoulds, let go of limiting beliefs, to release them. Here comes Hygieia, saying, yes, this is about your spiritual health. This is about preventative health. If you have all those limiting beliefs, self-limiting beliefs about yourself that you can't or you should, and various things, then they are going to hold you back. So, but that can also mean endings. I've already kind of ended a couple of things today as this is approaching. Nothing major. Left two Facebook groups that just I'd outgrown, kind of decided to part ways with one Facebook connection who I'd outgrown. Nothing, no fights, no nothing. Just it's time, Saturn, to look after my spiritual health and not tolerate those that kind of feel like they kind of keep me down, or that their words kind of block, or that I feel a bit like ugh, when I'm, in them or around them too much, sending them away with love. But anyway, let's move on to the 17th. And we're getting closer to the big day. This will be longer than my usual week ahead, so bear with me, okay? Anyway, moon. On January the 17th, early in the morning, the moon comes up and conjuncts Chiron, does that every month, but Chiron is now direct and saying, this is about self-actualization, self-healing. Really, all that self-love, putting yourself first is so important. Then the moon will conjunct the North Node and then moving us more towards that self-actualization and autonomy, or at least autonomous how we see ourselves. And then the moon will trine that Venus series conjunction, bringing some more fire as the moon moves towards that first quarter, which is late on the 17th. So really kind of happening all together. It's a very fiery first quarter moon. All right. And then the moon will conjunct my lovely friend Eris the shit stirrer. And that's right before the first quarter moon, which is actually at 27 degrees Aries Capricorn, which the sun will be at the degree Pluto last stationed direct at before Pluto started to leave the building. So it's a real push. Cardinal, Aries, Capricorn, both horned animals, the ram and the goat, saying, you know, I'm going to headbutt, I'm going to really push, you know, not literally headbutt, though, you know, you might feel like headbutting some people, but I am going to push to really shape things up and really change things and really take a stand for whatever you're taking a stand for. And it could just be you, which is fine too. So the first quarter moon is at 10:52 p.m. at 27 Aries Capricorn. But before that, Venus will exactly oppose Vesta. So we've really still got this mutable grand cross of change going on as well, and of assimilation, if you like, into putting all our ideas and perceptions and how we want to work in the world and what's right meaning in the world and our connection with source all into action. So now let's move on to the 18th. I like to move my list along a bit because then I can see it all very clearly. So we, on the 18th, we really open the day with the moon finishing up in Aries, but square to Pluto again. And really the first quarter moon to the sun is one big square to the sun and Pluto, which are approaching their conjunction. This is a real big push for change. These are initiating signs saying, I'm ready. I'm ready for what's about to come. And I am going to push hard. But right after the moon squares Pluto at 3:02 a.m. on Thursday the 18th, the moon will then enter Taurus. And we can feel, we can get a little bit more rooted even and start to make things real. You know, we can really start doing things now. We're in that bit between the first quarter moon and the full moon. You know, the planets are around, about to change signs. We're about to get this rush of air energy and we can really start to make things real, which is very Taurus, and get very rooted in what we are creating. Mercury will sextile Saturn and Hygieia. So bringing more thoughts and awareness into, you know, those new boundaries and letting go of more of those shoulds and limiting beliefs before the change. And then moving throughout the day, I'm not going to talk about many of the other aspects. I will mention that Venus does trine Eris, but I'll talk about that more in my Substack blog. I want to focus more on the conjunctions and the oppositions now. But we do have some supportive aspects on the 18th that kind of take us into what's coming. But we finish the day really with the moon conjunct Jupiter. Jupiter stationed direct on December the 30th and has now moved off the 5 degree mark that it's stationed direct at. And the moon conjuncts Jupiter, giving a big boost of opposition as Jupiter's starting to move forward. We can see here, though, that Jupiter's still moving slowly. It's not really gained speed yet, but at least has moved off the station degree. So that's a boost and a push as well to start manifesting what you want to manifest. Venus ruled sign Taurus, with Venus having that conjunction with Ceres, such a creative week. Such a creative week. So I want to move quickly on to the 19th, which is Venus Day itself. So here we have the 19th, and you can see that the moon is still in Taurus. Again, I'm just going to whiz through and say there's no major aspects, just very kind of minor supportive lunar aspects throughout the early part of the day. Mercury over here in Capricorn will trine Jupiter and trine Hecate. It's forming an almost exact Earth grand trine, with Hecate retrograde in Virgo, the way shower showing us the way in Virgo, you know, to wholeness, humility, right work, service, finding meaning in your life. And Mercury, this is again quite a powerful grand trine, this earthy grand trine, because it's close to Pholus and Jupiter's expansion and moving forward. So, you know, you can again really start to settle in and start making things real. Now, at 10:48 a.m. on Friday, the 19th, Venus Day, Venus over here, you can see Venus is now moving quickly away from Ceres because she moves a lot faster, comes up and squares Neptune. Venus Neptune aspects are always kind of the rose-tinted spectacles aspect. Venus is love and relationships, but also values and creativity. And when Venus and Neptune really speak to each other, it's kind of like everything looks rosier. We can see the potential. But this is in Sagittarius and Pisces, and has been obviously for quite some time, every time that Venus squares Neptune from Sagittarius. But these are the signs of belief and faith. But more importantly, belief and vision. It's what do we have faith in? What do we have? What do we vision? What do we want more of? What do we create? What do we want to create more of based on our big faith and our beliefs? So that's a lovely rose-tinted spectacle aspect at 10:48 a.m. exactly Eastern on the 19th. Kind of clouds the day, but I always love Venus Neptune aspects personally. And then at 1:11 p.m. the moon will come up and conjunct at Uranus, which is now 8 days away from stationing direct. That kind of can add that sense of inner awakening, because this is in one of Venus signs as Venus squares Neptune. So, you know, be prepared for some kind of aha moments, or some brain waves, or whatever you want to call them, downloads or something just coming over you, waves suddenly with Uranus as well. And then we finish the 19th really with the moon coming up in Taurus and opposing Pallas Athena, looking at that into that rabbit hole again of kind of exploring and creating and finding strategies to overcome some power dynamics and games. And then we move on to the big day. Now, I am going to spend a little bit of time here, and then we'll quickly whiz through Sunday and into next Monday morning. But January the 20th is the day that Pluto moves into Aquarius. But let's start the day. Ceres comes up and opposes Vesta exactly, kind of moving a little bit away from Juno, but also towards Neptune. So again, we've still got that mutable grand cross. And this is all about self-love and coming into wholeness within yourself, to my mind. And then moving further throughout the day, I'm going to move straight to the big aspect. First of all, the big, before things start changing signs. At 8:45 a.m. next Saturday morning, Pluto and the Sun. In fact, I'm actually going to get this aspect exact because Because these things are just astounding to me. And obviously, I'll talk in depth again on my Substack blog. But oh, that's not what I wanted to do. Pluto, Sun conjunct Pluto. There we go. At 8:45 a.m. next Saturday, the Sun and Pluto meet at the very last minute of the sign of Capricorn. It's almost as if to say, okay, shine the big old light on that very last moment of Pluto in Capricorn. Because really, I think this ingress into Aquarius on the 20th is the ingress. That little 2 months later in the year is just going to be a slight mop up. We are going to be entering the Pluto in Aquarius period, like right after this. And the fact that these two meet at the last minute before opening the doors into Aquarius is really tense. So you kind of might wake up. This is at 8:45 a.m. Eastern. It'll be later for most of you in the rest of the world, but you might kind of feel that pressure of, oh my God, something really different's coming. This brave new world feeling is coming. And it kind of feels a bit uncomfortable. And then all change. So that's conjunction is at 8:45 a.m. However, as well, before all the sign changes, the moon over here in another earth sign, Taurus, aspects first Pluto and then the sun at 8:56 a.m. and 8:57 a.m. So all this is happening together. This is so tense. This is like, oh my God, this is earth moving. This is gonna change everything because the moon is one of our luminaries, one of the lights. The sun is the other light. They are kind of two of the primary factors in our cosmos, but also in astrology. Pluto has been, digging up those shadows. This is core existential change to my mind, and we feel it coming. And then the moon, moves into Gemini. The moon is the first to move on January the 20th. And so that's at 8:57 a.m. My God, what a lot's happened, right? Just before, right as we in the US are at least waking up, the moon moves into Gemini at 8:57 a.m. Then just 10 minutes later, the sun moves into Aquarius. Okay, so you can see now. Oh, I did Capricorn. I'm sorry. So 9:07 a.m., you can see that the sun has now just beaten Pluto into Aquarius, saying, okay, we've taken one last look into those intense shadows about the patriarchal structures we're under, and now we're into Aquarius with the ideas starting to flow. And the moon and sun are still in aspect to each other. The exact aspect was in earth signs, but this is such a rush of air energy. We are not going back to no earth and no air energy for a long time, to be quite honest. So those two change. So that's at 8:57 a.m. and 9:07 a.m. Eastern. And then the moon will square, Saturn and square Hecate over here and square Hygieia over here. But and that's kind of saying change, 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 more mutable, more of that kind of energy. And then we get the big one. Pluto moves into Aquarius. Just under 12 hours later, so close. All this so close to happening with each other. And this activates that zero Aquarius degree, which is such a hot degree. I talked about that in a presentation I did for Renée Baribeau and her I Am Symposium about this this degree being activated over and over again? Or did I talk about that in my 2024? Anyway, it's a hot degree, Zero Aquarius. So whether you think we're getting into the age of Aquarius or not, the Aquarius air energy is in with a whoosh and a bang. While the moon has moved into an air sign, Gemini, and is square, forming a T square to the goddess of the crossroads, of the lamp, and Saturn, releasing all those limiting beliefs, but also putting some barriers and boundaries up and some hard nose. You don't get to come with me into this new paradigm kind of energy. So there may be a lot that you are going, nope, you don't get to enter this brave new world with me. You're okay. I send you with love. You've got your own path. This is my path now. So you may find yourself really kind of saying goodbye to a few things, Facebook groups, people, habits as well. Like, no, this is a brave new world. Got to do things differently. Got to change. These are also at five, which is, the number of change as well, and the most human number. So anyway, so that's that, right after Pluto moves into Aquarius. So that's at 7:56 p.m. Less than an hour later, the sun actually hits the galactic center, and I really need to add that back in. So let me just add that galactic center. Sorry, Venus. Venus will be on the galactic center as we get this an energy change. So I think that's really rather important too. So yeah, so Pluto moves into Aquarius, right as Venus conjuncts the galactic center, bringing in new information from that black hole at the center of the galaxy, going whoosh, whoosh, this is what you can create now. This is such an energy shift, I cannot tell you. Now then, this is where I want to spend a little bit more time. But let me just talk about Sunday the 21st, because it's not got very many major aspects. So I'm not even going to go to the day, but Mercury will actually exactly conjunct Pholus and will start to leave the degrees it was retrograde over. So that's an energy shift as well. Mercury stationed retrograde, bear with me. It was at 8 degrees. So right after this, Mercury will conjunct Pholus at 8:49, and Mercury has left the whole retrograde building. So we've got Moon into Gemini, Sun into Aquarius, Pluto into Aquarius, Venus conjunct the galactic center, Mercury leaving the shadow of his retrograde, ready to build something new. Quite astounding. And then for the rest of the 21st, Sunday the 21st, there's not really any major aspects. I'll write about the individual ones on my Substack blog. Late on the 21st, asteroid Lilith joins Venus and Ceres in Sagittarius. The talk to the hand asteroid leaves the fertile waters and the purging waters of Scorpio, purging all those power games over the divine feminine, saying, create this new vision. Just these things are all working together. It's quite astounding. And then Lilith, when Lilith moves into Sagittarius early on next Monday morning, she will actually sextile Pluto at that 0 degree mark, which is just astounding. And then the moon in Gemini will come up and square Juno, and then conjunct Vesta, activating that mutable energy. And then we'll of course come up and oppose Ceres, square Neptune, oppose Venus, more mutable, changeable, grand cross, saying change, change, change. What a It's quite amazingly powerful, to be quite honest. That period from the 20th to, well, this whole week is just one of big change. And it really is literally entering a brand new world. Now then, brave new world. Now then, what did I want to look at? I actually wanted to look at, and I'm not trying to get political, but I want to look at the inauguration of the current president. This will apply mainly to the USA. You know, I remember we all looked at this chart, and let me show it on its own, first of all. Joe Biden was inaugurated January the 20th, 2021. The inauguration always takes place at noon. I believe it was a little bit off, but astrologers always argue about all those kind of things anyway. Many astrologers wrote that the moon was void because it was at the end of Aries, which was also the degree the moon was at on January the 6th. But you know, let's not go there. But you know, it was said to be void. Now, I have done a bit of research on voids. There was actually a podcast episode with another astrologer whose name's just escaping me at the moment, the one who did moonology, Yasmin Bolan, and she was talking about void of course moons. And it was on the astrology podcast with Chris Brennan. Anyway, void of course moon is now understood as being when the moon moves towards the end of a sign and has made its last major aspect, it's void until it moves into the next sign. Now, I have always felt a little bit uncomfortable with that one. It turns out there's many other versions of what is a void moon. And with the moon approaching Taurus, and really within less than 7 degrees of Mars, I would really not say the moon was void. However, look at this. Those Mars and Uranus were together, which was a little bit volatile. You know, we knew kind of that this period of this presidency was probably going to be a little bit volatile in many ways. Pluto was heading right up at the top of the chart, and his message was he's going to return the soul of America. But you know, it's been a challenging time in many ways. Biden got a lot achieved. The ascendant was close to Biden's moon, which is zero Taurus. But incidentally, this is Circe, the witch, which was conjunct his moon. But anyway, this, you know, it was, you know, there was a lot of fear around this. Now, you know, in his first period of his presidency, he achieved a lot. You know, he was, in terms of actual bills and things, Biden was the most progressive president in years, despite the opposition. That had to change. That did change a little bit once we had the midterms. Even though there was not a red wave, you know, they Congress have held things up since, and that was perhaps a bit of an indication of the void moon. A little bit, because you know, a void moon kind of indicates it may be harder to get things done, but he did in the early terms. So, you know, I don't know. It was, to my mind, it was not a bad chart, but then I'm very misoptimistic. It had a Taurus rising, which is lovely, because Taurus rising is very rooted and embodied. And all of this more scary stuff was in the 12th house and rising. And I don't think the fear-based kind of energy of his inauguration chart really came to be. You know, Pluto at the top did indicate transformation. All this Aquarius energy up here was lovely, up in the 10th house, which is the most public place, taking us towards the future. And, you know, he wasn't my choice. But, you know, I've been more impressed than I thought I would be. Not in everything, by any means. But, you know, I kind of think he was the steady rock to take us into the future, to maintain what we have so that we can then bring real change, because we're still up against whatever we're up against. But anyway, his chart indicated that build back better kind of slogan as well. Forward thinking, progress, let's build it back, you know, but better than it was before. So this is the inauguration chart in the middle now, with Pluto's ingress into Aquarius. The sun, of course, was at zero Aquarius at that time. All of this was, the sun was square Biden's moon, but now we've got Pluto square the moon. Now, this brings in my favorite phrase for a transit of Pluto. Pluto takes away what you thought was your power and leaves you with what is truly your power. I, you know, he's old, you know, yes, he's really old, but the other guy's really old too, you know, and Biden's in better health than the other guy, in my opinion. You know, he still bicycles and does all that. Yes, he's a bit unsteady on his feet and showing signs of age, but does that mean, you know, he's not capable? Anyway, that's an opinion. Proof is in the pudding of what he does, I guess, and where he will move forward. Now then, on the 20th, which is the anniversary of the inauguration, we have Jupiter over here saying, here on this Mars and Uranus. And Mars and Uranus can bring radical change as well. Sudden change. And he did bring a lot of change. Maybe Jupiter will expand on his agenda, if you like. Okay. And into this election year, he will really start to, he and the Democrats will really start to talk about the change that they have brought and what more they're going to do. You know, I don't know. Uranus was back here in the 12th house. Now Uranus is in the first house, radical change. The moon is that, which is generally the people in a mundane chart, is now in Gemini, definitely not void, and heading towards the second house of, you know, values and so on and so forth. We already saw that we had this mutable T square. The North Node in Aries is in that 12th house of the inauguration chart, bringing this more kind of interconnected kind of feeling, saying, you know, we stand up for each person. You could read it as some things have not changed all that much, but of course Saturn is now in Pisces, and this is the area of politics and groups and organizations. And maybe Saturn in Pisces will kind of bring an end, Saturn, to some of the institutions that no longer align really with, you know, where we are moving towards. This is kind of setting the scene in my some ways. You know, I'm kind of making it up myself that we are, you know, in the election year. We're not at the election yet, but I couldn't help thinking this is obviously going to be on the sun of the inauguration chart, all the inauguration charts, incidentally, because they're always on zero Aquarius. But this is Pluto, and it's the first time it's been there since the USA was founded. I just wonder if this is going to launch into having new constitutional amendments or something, or bringing real futuristic change, so that the USA can fully fulfill its promise and be more egalitarian and future minded. Very optimistic. Mars will still be out of bounds in Capricorn, but really on the Venus of the inauguration chart. That's lovely, kind of coming together. Okay. And I think that's all I want to say. You know, if you've got any thoughts, let me know. I don't want to spend too long on this, but I kind of think it was fun to look at them, because I think, you know, mainly it's Pluto's ingress into Aquarius is going to transform something that began back 3 years ago on January the 20th, 2021. And remember my phrase that came from my teacher, Maridel, is Pluto takes away what you thought was your power and leaves you with what is truly your power. And in Aquarius, really, you know, the USA was founded under, as we know it, was founded under Pluto and Aquarius. The Constitution was ratified in 1788. So what's going to happen over the next 20 years in the USA is going to be interesting. But pay attention to kind of what starts coming our way this year as we move into this brave new world. Longer than usual week ahead video. It's quite a powerful time we're moving into. So enjoy this forecast. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave me a comment. Leave me a thumbs up. I appreciate every one of you. Till next time.